Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, Washington, D.C., and welcome into Grant and Danny. For the first time in show history, for the first time today in station history, we are talking about a Commanders playoff win. Danny, I dreamed about days like this. I longed to do shows like this. The Washington Commanders, for the first time in 19 years as an organization, won a playoff game. They are on to the divisional round. And when I say this, try not to get chills.
Okay.
They are 60 good minutes of football away from an NFC Championship game appearance. My lips are filled with smile.
Now, here's the thing. Detroit's really good. They're great, in fact. Best point differential in the sport. Excellent offense. Brilliantly coached. That group's been playing together for a little bit. They've got more talent. They're going to be favored. They should be. But let's see. Let's see. Let's put our feet up. My feet is up. Next Saturday night, Saturday night. Let's watch it. Let's just see what happens. We got a guy. Our quarterback is better than whatever you got. Pretty much everybody in the league, with a couple exceptions. If that game's close, if you don't have a two-score lead late in the football game, you're going to lose. If you don't have two scores advantage with a couple minutes to go, you're going to lose that football game because we got Jaden Daniels. Let's see what happens. Let's mess around and see if we can make it close to the fourth quarter. There'll be some puckering in the Motor City. What an unbelievably fun time that was. It was also took years off my life. But, dude, they won a playoff game for the first time in two decades.
Playoff football will do that to you, buddy. Feels good, doesn't it, Hare?
Yeah. You know?
Like that.
You been going with these laid-back country folk?
The pressure of these games, the anxiety, the nerves, the adrenaline, the tightness that somehow Jaden Daniels doesn't feel.
Humans feel it. He doesn't.
But mortal people like us, mm-hmm. We feel it. It's fun to be playing important games in January. It's just fun to feel again. That is a good thing. 23-20, the Commanders knock off the home favorites, Tampa Bay, in Florida. I was on the scene, got all kinds of stuff I can pass along that I saw and things that I experienced at the stadium over the course of the next 4.5 hours. What an amazing night for this fan base, for you guys who have been waiting so long, and for this organization, really in year one of this ownership group. It was their second season, but they took over on the eve of training camp a couple of years ago. So this was their first offseason to put their fingerprints on this team. And you hire Adam Peters, who just dunked a basketball. And he hires Dan Quinn, who hit a bolt into the second deck this season. And he drafts Jaden Daniels, who just hit 3 home runs and drove in 17 in the same game. What an absolutely incredible ride this has been. 12 regular season wins, Danny, but how good are they? People asked. Who have they really beaten? People asked. They went on the road to the division champion out of a not-so-good NFC South, but a Bucs team that on paper was better than them. And they come home a winner again. That's 5 straight games, if you're keeping score at home, where they have won on the final play from scrimmage.
Yeah.
5 straight. You got to go back to the New Orleans 2-point conversion. Danny, at the beginning of this run, they almost lost to the terrible Saints.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, though. They found a way to win that game. The next week, they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. They're down 2 touchdowns early in that game. Jamison Crowder back in the end zone, take the lead, walk-off winner with a few seconds left. The next week, the Atlanta Falcons, overtime, game winner. The next week, this was the Cowboys game in week 18. 2 seconds left. This time, it's Marcus Mariota. Same result. And then last night, Zane Gonzalez with the doink heard round the world. Zany for Zane, baby. Off the upright and in. Washington is moving on.
Buck Irving went for 4.5 a pop. Baker Mayfield was 15 out of 18 for a couple touchdowns. They couldn't cover Mike Evans. So much for that Lattimore-Evans matchup. Washington's running backs totaled 46 yards. Their running totals were buoyed, of course, by Jaden Daniels, who didn't run it great himself, had 36 yards on 13 carries, just scrambled for his life a couple different times. So you look at some of the ingredients and you go, that's not that great. There's magic. And he wears number 5. He's so unbelievably special. He's so wonderful. He's so incredible. It just seems to work. Like, even when you're going, Cleveland from Family Guy style, now, great pass to Austin Eckler, just over the pinky of Yaya Diaby. Shout out Yaya Diaby, by the way, on
Yaya
that drive.
Yaya Diaby. The Bucs got Yaya Diaby'd last night.
Kalijah Kancey, who dominated that football game. Dominated! Destroyed people! 8 worlds like Galactus. He pulled the flag on Jaden Daniels on that 3rd-and-1. But it's not my son's youth football game in Braddock Road. No, it ain't.
By the way, the exasperation of Kalijah Kancey.
Uh-huh.
Now, I understand why he was a little bit put out. It was because his season had just been ripped away from him. It's because his heart had just been taken out of his chest. This will be my second Dumb and Dumber reference of the morning. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But Jaden Daniels just reached into his chest like he was Lloyd Christmas and pulled out his heart and put it in a doggy bag.
Went,
and folded it up and handed it back to him. Dude grabbed the towel.
Uh-huh.
The white towel. It was time to wave it, by the way. Just start waving it because you just lost. Jaden Daniels just beat you. He grabs it and he's following him with a towel in his hand. But the best. Someone make this meme. Someone make this video. Daniels dives down. 2 Bucks get hurt at the same time. I don't know how. And then he just kind of, all in one motion, like throws the towel in the air. That's the throwing in of the towel.
That literally, yeah.
Proverbially, literally the whole deal. Throws the towel in the air and just kind of, you can see his exasperation. His shoulders, his head just sink to the ground. He goes, I got 5'd, man. I got 5'd.
It's the thing that I've always talked about. The thing that I've always dreamed about. The thing that gets done to my team. Where guys try real hard. Guys have tried real hard over the years. They've done everything they possibly could. But they don't have enough. Because that villain, that nemesis, that darkness, that malicious, never-ceasing, I'm better than you no matter what you throw at me, thing has taken their souls. Ours does. Ours does that. Our guy, who's here right now this minute, does that to other people.
He is playing at a level that nobody else at the position is, certainly in his conference. Maybe Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, like the guys that are MVPs every year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mahomes isn't playing at that level. Allen and Lamar would be the two, the MVPs this year. And Daniel should be in that conversation, obviously. But they're 8.5-point dogs, as you mentioned, going to Detroit now, indoors on carpet.
Yep.
It's going to be 34 degrees in Detroit on Saturday. Not inside.
Not up in there.
It's going to be 72 and comfortable. And they've got a shot.
Yeah.
Because they got 5.
And that's kind of my point, is they shouldn't win the game. You play it 10 times. You probably win, what, 1, 2? But let's see. Let's just see. Let's tune in.
Oh, I see you going little Giants on me.
That's not what I'm doing.
We're going to race Brian down Cherry Hill.
All I'm saying is, let's just see what happens. They earned the right to go to Detroit. Now, clarify, help me out. I'm a little shaky on the new playoff format. I'm not used to it. With 17
it's been
weeks.
A while. You haven't had to learn it.
Well, but no,
you're normally looking at the draft positioning now.
That starts in October, looking at quarterbacks. So, 7 playoff teams. There's only one team that gets a bye.
Yeah.
Who does Tampa have next week? Help me out with that.
The Bucs?
Yeah. So Washington wins, so that's fine. But who does Tampa have?
They've got Bermuda, I believe. They've got tee times.
Yeah, they do. Oh, I feel so bad for those fans. Oh, no. Oh, bummer. They wanted to win. Suck it, first of all, to them.
Poor guys.
Pipe down. Take it. Washington gets to keep going. They are dangerous. That's my point. They might lose. There's a great chance. I'll probably, I'll bet on Detroit if it's on a money line or something. Detroit's better. But let's just see.
The Lions are great.
Mm-hmm.
I also wouldn't want to have to play Washington.
This is
right
the
now.
Point I'm making.
Now, Dan Campbell's going to get his guys gathered up, and they're going to feel good taking the field.
Absolutely.
We're going to go out there, man, and we're going to finish what we started, brother. Only thing standing between us and our goals, a team that won four games last year, man.
You know who likes to eat some kneecaps? Bobby Wagner. He's going to drag some dudes into the fight with him.
Yeah.
I thought Dan Quinn yesterday got off the bus at Raymond James Stadium from the team hotel over at the JW Marriott. And he said, we're going to play four downs of football. I loved everything about.
Yeah, I need a wheelbarrow for these things I'm hauling around.
Right. I got bulls that are dragging on the ground. Can somebody help me carry these things?
I need something.
They're heavy. I got my bag. You know, I got my playbook. I can't carry these things,
I got my hands full.
What the hell do you want me to do with these? Guy, you know how you beat a superior? And yes, I think Tampa Bay is the better team, like, over the course of the season. Not by a lot, but by a little. There's a reason they were favored by 3 points. But you know how you go on the road and you beat a superior team? You play four down football. He was Herm Edwards yesterday. But instead of just standing at the press conference and yelling, you play to win the game. You know what Dan Quinn did? He just played to win the game. He just Dan Campbell'd it all over the place and told Tress Way, hey, bud.
Hey, pal.
Go ahead and take the night off. Is your family here? Yeah, the wife here? Go sit with her. I hear the popcorn's pretty good. They got a good concession stand in section 217 where you can get a street tacos. Go on over there and do that, bud. Night off for Tress Way last night.
Hey, pal, you want to read the book that A.J. Brown was reading during the game? Hey, pal, you got to hold a couple of times. That's about it.
Why was he reading a book?
I don't know, man. And now my least favorite part is that now it's turned into a cool thing.
Yes, exactly.
That's what bothers me.
Enough with that. Enough with like the, oh, I love this. He's so calm, he's reading a book. No, he's pissed off because he has one catch, and this is his way to show that he's upset, and he's throwing a tantrum. But you know what? Not today. Today's not about the Eagles. Yep. Today's not about A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. Today's not about diva receivers.
Who's it about?
It's a non-diva receiver.
Oh, hello.
It's a receiver who's a team guy, who's a leader who I love, who could marry, I was going to say, my kid when they're old enough, but my wife if he wants to, whatever he
sure,
wants to do.
Sure, whatever you need. Yeah,
you do what you want to do. Now, I'll just be over here.
Just grateful. Now, are you talking about superstar receiver Dyami Brown?
No, we'll get to him.
Who had an incredible night, and he gave the you're so small after he trucked a dude on the sideline?
I'm talking about our sweet prince, Terry McLaurin.
Oh, Little Terry.
Love letters to Terry.
Now, is that the guy that went down the side to set the tone and made one of the great catches of the season?
By the way.
Or the guy that caught that tutty on fourth down.
So the major that he caught, respectfully,
yeah,
you're going to catch those.
Sure.
The catch early.
Yeah.
Grown ass man. Like, he does that so often that now we just expect it. Degree of difficulty on that catch.
High.
90th percentile. By the way, the throw was great.
This was.
Because the quarterback, number five, the rookie.
That's Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, right. He's the name. Yeah.
Remember that name, guys.
He might be okay at this.
Got a chance.
He stood in the pocket like he did against the Bengals.
Yeah.
And he got walloped. One of the times where he got hit really hard, you know, he was bleeding.
Yeah.
My favorite, is it a meme? I guess it would be.
It could be a meme.
My favorite internet content from last night that the Commanders put out was that Jaden's cut, which is actually a pretty legitimate little gash.
Yeah, it was a gash there.
And instead of the Band-Aid on his cut, they had like the box score that said 23-20. Silly.
I like one that was like war paint, like a W in blood. I've seen that one too. I like them all because they won.
But he took a shot.
Yep.
Delivered a dime. Terry's been waiting five seasons for last night, and he delivered the goods. And then you mentioned Dyami Brown. You know, the greatest number two wide receiver in Washington playoff history.
Like, is it too late for him to get to the Pro Bowl? Like, can we talk about that?
A man possessed. Funniest thing in the world that's ever happened to me last night. I go up to Dyami in the locker room after the game. And I said, Dyami, you got a second? And he said, hey, man, I'm actually going to be going to the podium tonight. And it took everything I had not to chuckle a bit. And I said, you earned it. First time for everything, Dyami Brown, go to the podium. Now, for those of you that aren't connecting the dots here, you go to the podium when there's so many people that need to talk to you that you can't possibly do it at your locker. So people at the podium are generally Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, maybe Bobby Wagner.
The influencers.
And last night, Dyami mother bleeping Brown.
Come on.
Career game. He ran over a guy. He lowered his shoulder like vintage Brian Robinson of yesteryear. Like he was Mike Sellers in 2005 in Tampa Bay. Like he was Mike Allstott, who was in the crowd, and they showed him about six times. Tough night for Mike Allstott.
You hate to see it for Mike.
Rondé Barber was shown as well.
Yeah.
I think Derek Brooks as well. Tough night for those guys. Mm-hmm. Really,
great
really.
Players. Not tonight.
And our night.
Mm-hmm.
This time is our time.
It's good that you guys got a great seat to see it, though. Like, yeah. Be grateful for that.
De'Ami Brown ran over a guy.
That's when you know.
And he sunned him. He did the, you're right, he did yeah. the, like.
You're too small.
You're too small.
I had to, actually, this is true. I had to have a convo with my 11-year-old, who, good for him, he made a basket in his game, which I actually would love to talk about at some point. Tremendous story, but maybe we'll save it for another day.
Buckets.
Yeah. Stepped up, drilled a shot, and he did that? The you're too small thing?
He did
thing?
That to someone?
Well, he doesn't quite know when it's appropriate to use. Okay. I had to try to explain to him it's probably not appropriate. When you drilled the jumper.
If you're hanging 30 on somebody.
Well, yeah, he didn't. Great for him. He made a shot.
Yeah.
Probably don't do that.
Okay.
Let's not taunt our opponent in 11-year-old basketball.
Right.
Like, I think that's kind of where we should start.
But De'Ami?
De'Ami, you truck someone on the sideline, get a couple extra yards. It's not my favorite thing, but it wasn't my least favorite thing either.
What is that sound, by the way?
What's that?
Do you hear that?
I don't think so. Something faint. What is it?
Oh, it's a Brinks truck backing up because De'Ami made himself some money last night.
Get that cash.
The pending free agent made himself a little cash.
Is it too early to say he's indispensable? Like, is it premature to say they can't win without him?
You can't lose him. Take my arm. Don't take De'Ami Brown. You can't do it?
Can't do it.
Like, I know they may lose Cliff Kingsbury, and there's going to be some guys that aren't back. I get it.
Yeah.
They need De'Ami back, right? You can't not have De'Ami here.
Because if last night is what we do from now on, I just like forget about the bigger data set. I saw last night. Like, I don't think 1,400 yards is out of the question.
What do you like better, De'Ami Jefferson or De'Ami Chase?
De'Ami Chase?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or De'Ami Rice?
Yeah. De'Ami St. Brown?
De'Ami Moss. De'Ami St. Brown is good.
He was so good.
He got picked ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and now we know why. Last night.
That's what they saw.
That's what they saw. That was the one. You know what? Rivera's actually good at this.
Oh, really am?
I apologize. Get him on the horn. Tell him we're sorry. Rivera was right. De'Ami Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
De'Ami Brown. What it's his night. House. He sleeps 20 feet away.
What a night to
De'Ami
show
De'Ami Brown.
It took years.
National television's going. Like, you know how many people last night went, google.com, De'Ami Brown, question mark.
I was the lady on the Titanic. It's been 84 years. And then De'Ami Brown just said, dun, 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 dun. I am here. you were waiting for me.
I got this.
Don't
well,
worry.
I think more so than anything else is he is what he is.
Right.
Which is the greatest player who's ever lived, Ron. Danny was wrong about you.
Monk, Clark, Charlie Taylor, De'Ami Brown.
Right.
Hey, Grand Danny, how you doing?
Great, buddy.
Dare I say it's De'Ami Brown day.
Die.
Day.
Die.
Day. Bobby Wagner, 17th career playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner's here, everybody.
Yay. Takeaway. Thanks to Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
Who somehow didn't throw a pick, but he was sure to turn the ball over.
Yeah, he was going to do something.
Him and Jalen McMillan. That's the other thing. When I say this stuff, everyone always says, like, I'm taking credit away or whatever, and please just grow up for me for 1 second.
Just a millisecond.
So we can have a quick convo on
real
this.
Real quick.
What the Commanders did was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What Jaden Daniels did, what Dan Quinn did, and Terry McLaurin, all the grown-ups grew up. De'Ami Brown was babysitting people last night.
De'Ami Brown.
Getting people their lunch, dropping it off at the old folks' home. Like, everything went well. Also, the tide has turned in this organization. They're getting breaks all the time that they just don't get. We've been talking about this behind the scenes all season. Me and Darius and Ryan and Toby and different people. Like, last night, they made a doink field goal with the game on the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's not weird that they would doink a field goal with the game on the line, but that it would hit the crossbar and go in, different. Same end zone.
Yep.
I was in the stadium 25 years ago. Dan Turk's snap doesn't get to Matt Turk. They don't kick the game-winning field goal. They don't go to the NFC Championship game. Same end zone, same uprights, same goalposts. Mm-hmm. 25 years ago, Dan Snyder's first year as the owner. This time, Hog Ownership Group's first chance, we're hitting uprights and it's going in. But other things, like Graham Barton is a legitimately excellent center. Young Duke player, rookie.
Yeah.
He snapped the ball at the wrong time. Inexplicably. Third and inches. I can't stop their run. Can you stop there, Ryan?
I certainly cannot, no.
Bucky Irving is going ham sandwich in the half.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pick up a first down on third and inches. If they don't, they'll get it on fourth and a foot or fourth and inches. They have two chances to get 6 inches. And Graham Barton snaps the ball too early. The line's not ready. Mayfield's not ready. Turns into a fiasco, loss of 3 or 4. They've got to kick the game-tying field goal instead of continuing to march to take a fourth-quarter lead. Respectfully, that's not a play that Washington made. That's a thank God that that happened kind of thing, just like the doink it in. The Baker Mayfield fumble. Nobody swatted that out of his hands. Nobody hit him. He and Jalen McMillan bumped into each other and went,
whoopsie-daisy, I messed that one up.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It's starting to feel. I'm not going to do the thing.
Don't do the thing.
I'm not going to do the thing. But if I was going to do the thing.
Okay.
Which I am not doing. Darris, I am not doing the thing. And Ryan, specifically, I want you to know, because you're a corporate guy, I am not doing the thing. Toby, I'm not going to say that this is like Team of Destiny type vibes.
Nobody's saying that.
But if I was to say that, okay, I would say something like, why are all these weird things going their way? And how long will that continue? But I'm not going to say that.
I mean, to your point, we always have to offer the caveat. They deserve it. They won. They dominated that first half until Baker Mayfield scrambled for 9-plus yards, trucking 7 different people, which changed the game. And instead of having a lead, double-digit lead, potentially getting the football back and to start the second half, it was 10-10 going into halftime. So they deserve to win this football game. But thank God Todd Bowles is like, nah, I know they can't stop us. Let's kick some field goals. Let's get rid of it. Let's holster these timeouts for weird, haphazard times. Thank goodness he managed the game so poorly. When they got stopped on 3rd and 1, and the play you're talking about, the premature snap, I'm going, oh my God, they're going to go for it. They're going to walk down, get a touchdown, and it's going to take, you know, one of these incredible Jaden Daniels moments. I still believe, but goodness gracious, they made it harder. And they're lined up to kick a field goal, and thank God. Thank God they chose that. Thank God they chose the first possession of the game to keep the points and not go for it on fourth down again. The Washington could not stop them. At least you can't stop the run. You certainly sure as bleep can't cover anybody. But thank goodness they said, no, we're good with that. Play it conservative. And you lose.
What was better?
Hmm.
The Howie Kendrick clank or the Zane Gonzalez doink? Clank or doink?
Clank for me, because it's in Game 7 of the World Series.
And that's my answer?
Yeah.
What if that doink was in the Super Bowl? I think the doink's over the clank.
The doink beats the clank in that case.
Right.
With all due respect to Howie.
Sorry about your luck, Howie. Doink over clank. I got the greatest text of all time last night as I'm in the bowels of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Jagler on line one. He goes, that's the best doink since Kendrick off the foul pole. And I thought, you ain't kidding, Jags.
You're right.
And I'll see you when the summer of silence, or what do they call it? The silence.
Season of silence.
Season of silence.
Season of silence.
Yeah. Let's touch the people next.
Appropriately.
The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. They played a playoff game yesterday, so it's not a victory. Oh, my God, it's a victory Monday. Danny, it's a victory playoff.
That's from their playoff win, right? They get to go on. The other team does not. That's your big takeaway there.
Feels like a little special brewing situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a developing situation here.
Yeah.
With a game against Detroit looming on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
I'm on short rest. They're rested. I don't have the talent they have. I'm not the one seed. But I got 5 on it. Jaden Daniels is playing his butt off right now. 800-636-1067 is the number. Ladies and gentlemen, you're rooting for a team in the divisional round of the playoffs. We're Grant and Danny on a victory Monday.
Luke McCaffrey in motion. Daniels retreats, throw it end zone, touchdown, De'Ami Brown.
Yeah, certainly proud of him because of, got injured just a few weeks ago, worked hard to get back to make sure he was ready and able to deliver into that spot. And the one screen, I thought was a great block by Wiley to, get it, but it was nice to see Diami step into that space. There's a lot of guys that are ready to step into those moments. And as some players, we were entering into their first playoff experiences to go, as you get into it, it's ball, you know, and you get into it. But the nerves sometimes leading up to it can feel a lot. There's a lot of extra energy. And let's use that energy for good. In the terms of the preparation of how we go. But, yeah, I was certainly proud of him. I told him that in the locker room.
That's Dan Quinn. Diami Brown had himself a day. One of the huge plays of the game that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Washington has a 3rd and 6 on their final drive that bled the clock out, spanned the final 4:41 of the game in their own territory. You don't convert on 3rd and 6. You have to punt. Jaden Daniels drops back. He's in the pocket. He throws an in-breaker middle of the field to Diami Brown, who beat 32. Hayes, I think it was, who came off the bench to replace Dean, who got hurt. And by the way, here's some savvy from Daniels, and I'm sure there's someone in his ear, whether it's Cliff or Pritchard or whatever after that, his quarterback's coach, but they immediately started to attack 32.
Right on, yep.
And it's another one of those good fortune things. Take advantage of it, right? Dean's a pretty good corner. He's out now. He just got hurt. Here comes 32, who got beat like a drum last week against the Saints, and who Terry catched the touchdown against? Him. Who Diami beat on 3rd and 6 on the big inbreaker? Him. But Daniels makes a nice throw. Brown makes the catch. That's a huge play. That last drive, Danny, was
championship stuff.
A Mona Lisa painting. You know, that is a masterpiece. That's Joe Gibbs in the early 90s salting a game away. Excellence. 4:41 on the clock. And here's the greatest compliment I can pay Jaden Daniels. Didn't you know they were going to score when they got the ball back?
It felt like it.
Like, I was, maybe not 100, but like 98% sure they were going to score. Now, the question internally I had is, will they be able to tick 4:41 off the clock? I didn't think they would. I thought they'd get it down to like a minute. Maybe the Bucks would have to use some timeouts, and they'd kick a field goal to go up 23-20. And there's a chance they lose because Tampa Bay is going to get the ball back, and they can either go tie it and go to overtime with a great kicker, or maybe something crazy happens and they score a touchdown.
Yeah, YOLO to Mike Evans, right? I mean, you can't stop him.
But the way you prevent that, the way, frankly, all game long they prevented themselves from losing, they didn't ask much of their defense.
Right.
They ran 70 plays to the Bucs, 44 plays. They had 60% of the game time of possession, 35 minutes to 25 minutes last night. And they kept them from ever getting the ball back, bled out the entire 4:41 elite stuff.
Yeah, that's masterclass. And that's without a running game. And this is the point I want to keep going back to. It's easy to do that, but easy is the wrong word. Forgive me. If you're the Ravens and you've got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, pick your poison. They're both going to kill you. It's both lethal. Thumping downhill, grinding out a game, that 4-minute drill, the Rigo drill, is a lot easier than when you can't gain a millimeter with your regular rush attack. You're in third and long all game because you simply cannot do anything on first down in your conventional run attack. So not only do you bleed the clock, 4:41 to go, make Tampa use all their timeouts. Again, it's without the aid of your offensive line has worn them down all game long, and Vita Vea is gasping for breath, and Kalijah Kansi's been moved 6 ways from Sunday. Didn't happen at all. Tampa Bay's defensive line controlled everything when it came to that. And you're still bleeding the clock. You're still converting time after time after time. It's that much more miraculous. You know what I mean? Like, the formula to me for a team to bleed out the clock, kick a game-winning field goal, it doesn't look like what Washington is doing or has done right now. But you can do that when you've got something so special and so different than everybody else that you just go, I'll take logic and punt it into the sun.
They only had 1/3 down last night out of 15, I believe, where they were 3rd and 10. Looking it up right here, which surprises me just going through it. But, you know, you go through the ledger from yesterday. It's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. I guess a 2nd, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 2. They had 17 third downs, Danny. 15 of them were 3rd and 6 or shorter. So I kept hearing people, seeing people being like, they can't run the ball. It's 3rd and long. They were never in 3rd and long.
Mm.
Short passing game was their running game. This is why. So it's twofold. One, it is true that not being able to run the ball will eventually catch up to you. You have to run it better than they did. The numbers are even a little bit misleading because they had a 12-yard run from Austin Ekeler that was a screen behind the line out wide where he got 12 yards. that went on his rushing ledger. So they actually ran the ball with running backs on actual handoff runs 18 times for 34 yards, basically 2 yards per carry. Less than that, but about 2 yards per carry. They still never punted. And think about how insane that is. They couldn't run the ball at all, but never punted.
Yep.
Twofold to overcome that, right? One, Jaden Daniels in the running game. Now, he would get just enough. He didn't break anything off. He didn't average much either. But, Danny, he had, you know, little 2- and 3- and 4-yard scrambles a bunch of times to avoid third and long that were huge to just keep the sticks moving. But the other thing is, this is why the run game is a little bit overrated. They haven't been able to run the ball the entire month in these wins.
Right.
The entire 6-game streak, essentially, they have not been able to run the ball. I guess the first game against the Titans they did, but the last 5 they haven't. It's the Chiefs from 3 or 4 years ago.
Yep.
It's short, safe, quick game passes that are runs. It's extension of the running game, and it works. It's ball possession. It's keeping the team on the field. You know what it reminds me of a little bit? I hate to say this name, so cover your ears. It's like that Scott Turner offense with Heinicke when they got on their little 4-game winning streak where they would just, it's 3rd and 4 and you get 5. It's 3rd and 6 and you get 7. You remember that?
I do.
And they would like go on these 16, 17 play drives, and you go, how in the hell is this happening? Well, I know how it's happening this time. But they had a 17-play, 92-yard drive that took over 9 minutes last night. 17 plays. That's so hard to do because it means you got nothing explosive, but you stayed on the field forever.
Mm-hmm.
They also didn't commit penalties, really. They didn't give up sacks after the early part of the game.
That ended up being, to me, the differentiating factors, right? To your point, they weren't in 2nd and 17 a lot, right? Whether it was a false start or a procedural penalty or a hold or anything to that effect. And this is a crew, by the way, that loves calling those things. They throw flags as much or more than anybody in the NFL. And the fact that they were that clean in terms of the game, I thought was incredible. And Tampa Bay shot themselves in the foot a couple times. But that, to me, even though you're getting stuffed a ton and their yards per carry with their running backs was a disaster, it still wasn't like drive killing type stuff. Right, whereas Tampa Bay a couple times backed themselves up in a 1st and 20 or a 2nd and 16, and they converted a couple times, which was killer. But still, I think you're 100% right on. Like, you can't do all of it. In other words, like, you can't commit a ton of penalties, have a bunch of negative plays, bunch of sacks, and then maybe turn it over out of desperation and come back and win a game like that. You did. You were clean in a couple different areas, gave yourself a chance. To me, we're to the point now. If you're within a score and Jaden Daniels gets the ball, I'll sign up right now. Like, that's the whole point. Is like, they're with, if even if Tampa had taken the lead, Daniels gets the ball last, I feel like that whole stadium kind of knew. And that, to me, is what's so special.
Yeah, to be a road rookie playoff game QB, and for me to know when you get the ball back, you're going to protect it. You're not going to make a bad decision. You're not going to put the ball in harm's way, very likely. Mm-hmm. It's not like he didn't all game long. I mean, there was a dropped interception, if you remember, at the goal line, although it didn't really haunt them because they didn't get the fourth down anyway, so it's not like they left points on the field. That was right before the Bucs got the ball back with a lead,
yep,
with a chance to go up 2 possessions, and Baker Mayfield fumbled. But you knew he was not going to give them any chance to get their hands on the ball. It's mostly been what he's done all year long. He's avoided those things. He was going to make the right decisions. He just always makes the big play at the huge moment, always. He's got that special gene, it seems like.
He's so calm.
It's hard to quantify. It's hard to know it till you know it, or see it till you see it, but it certainly seems like he's got it. All right, let's hit the phones next. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. We do have Jay Gruden today at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to Austin Eckler tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Got a couple of players that might be giving us a call when they get out of the facility today to help with our celebration as well, so we're excited about that. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
As a coach, you practice it a lot. Honestly, we do. But it is different in the games. And so being in a lot of those close games and not winning them all, there's a lot of lessons to take off of those. There's been a lot of tell the truth Mondays that we went down to the end. We talked about why it went right or why it didn't. And in that space, collectively, you can feel the belief from the team on the sideline. It's a really connected team. They believe in one another. And you have to have connection to also have belief. I think they kind of go hand in hand.
Dan Quinn's Commanders are headed to Detroit. Storyline alert. Ben Johnson against the Washington team he interviewed for the job with, and then he left high and dry as they were flying out for another interview. He said he didn't have a great feeling, and the search was run by basketball guys. Remember that?
I do.
That's real interesting.
That's real interesting.
I wonder how those owners feel about him. They were in the air when they found out he didn't want to be interviewed again. They were halfway to Detroit. You can't just turn that plane around, man. That could be one of many fascinating storylines on Saturday night with the Lions and the Commanders.
I just want to wish you the best of luck in Jacksonville next year.
It would be really weird if he waited all these years to take the Jags job.
It would be. Again, offensive genius. I think that's true. And that's the end of my complimenting Ben Johnson.
Well,
you don't do that to people.
That's his gig right now.
He's a great offensive mind.
Who'd you watch the game with?
Family. And nice. One of my wife's friends came over for a little bit and then kind of sensed how intense and awkward it was about to be.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know what? Bye. And just like was vapor out the door. But yeah, got kids watched for a little bit. They were excited. You know, wife humored me until it was time for bed. But then it was just me and my thoughts for the last second half, basically.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. A 19-year drought is over. 20 seasons of waiting. The Commanders win a playoff game. And it was back in Tampa where they last accomplished the feat. Let's go to Mo in Largo. What's up, Mo?
Hey, Mo.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You got
it. Could you give me a couple minutes? Because I just want to share this experience. So I flew down to Tampa to go to the game. Me and a couple of my friends, we had tickets for 236 club level. Okay. That gave us access to walk down to the railing and take pictures. We stood down there for like 30 to 45 minutes taking pictures upon which the game started, and no one ever came to claim those seats. We sat on the 50, row one, and watched that game.
That's wild.
And when I tell you,
what?
The energy in there was amazing. Let me tell you something. I shook hands with the owner, Josh Harris, got pictures, got a selfie with J.P. Finley, got a selfie with Clint, CP. It felt like a home game, gentlemen. We were so deep. I mean, it was crazy. The presence from home and from there, too. I mean, there were a lot of local Commander fans down there, and it was amazing. The energy, the camaraderie, just, I mean, and as I sat in the airport this morning, because, I mean, I went from the stadium back to the airport and flew out 6 a.m. this morning. I'm sitting in the airport, and just random people are just coming up to me because I still got on all my gear. And they're just dapping me up, talking about, you know, come in your trap, take over your trap. I mean, it's crazy, guys. I mean, just random people.
Right.
It was amazing, gentlemen. Really had a great time. I hope you all enjoyed it, too.
Appreciate
Thank you,
dude.
Buddy. It was a blast. The fan presence at that game was staggering. Really cool to see. Not necessarily surprising because people have been waiting a long time, but it's still a big commitment.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I flew out.
That's flights and hotels, man. That's not nothing.
I had a 6 a.m. flight on day of game Sunday, full plane of burgundy and gold. People were on the 6 and 7 a.m. flights getting back for work, getting back to their lives, getting back to their kids. Like, it's not easy. Travel's a hassle, right? It was all worth it. And flying back today, the pilot didn't get the assignment. He didn't understand. He had no feel whatsoever. Zero awareness. Madden grade for the pilot. But everybody on the plane, pretty much, minus like two very unhappy Bucks fans that had just happened to have business in D.C. today, everybody was a fan of the burgundy and gold.
Mm-hmm.
All rocking jerseys, all rocking gear. It was really refreshing to see that. But just the unbridled enthusiasm and the joy. And he's right, just strangers dapping each other up, talking about being on to Detroit and the confidence they have going into the game. It was fun to see.
Well, before the game, so my son had a game. We went to Stupid Good Barbecue in Springfield after his game.
And?
The entire place, Washington fans. Now, it's not like, I'm guessing. I know that because they're all wearing jerseys.
What do you think of Stupid Good?
It's fantastic.
It's so good.
Really, really strong
What'd
place.
What'd you get?
He got the pulled pork sandwich and cornbread.
Okay.
I've been before.
You mean a two-meat platter?
An That's what the first actually threw me the first time. This time I wanted to try that smashed potato situation.
Yeah.
I got that with pulled pork as well.
Best.
I did some mac and cheese. I too had some cornbread. I also did the jalapeno cheddar sausage, which was fantastic.
Seems like you ate a lot of things.
I did. I'm a fatty.
Good
so,
for you.
Point of the dude story is everybody's just. I go, is this one big group? Is this like an office party? But no, it's just strangers commiserating and talking about how much fun this is. And they're going to win the night. Here's how they do it. Guys, everyone's got everyone's table and everyone's business while they're eating their food, waiting for food. Just a bunch of Washington fans hanging out and talking about the team. I haven't seen that in a long time.
What'd you love most about last night, or what was your game experience? We're going to be working our way through your calls at 800-636-1067. How about this ownership group? They were rolling deep last night in the bowels of the stadium, celebrating deep into the evening. We'll talk about that next. Grant and Danny discussing a playoff win and the Commanders and the Lions in round number 2 on the Fan.